Friend, turn me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And I want to talk to you about a phrase that we find in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. And that is victory in Jesus. You know, there's a song by that name, and you hear a lot of people talking about having victory and that kind, and along those lines. And obviously, when you think about victory, it indicates winning, being in some type of contest. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56, says, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now in the context, a couple of weeks ago we talked about the resurrection and the significance of resurrection and how we're going to be one day resurrected. And in the context of the verse, Paul is, that victory he's talking about there is the victory over death, hell, and the grave. He's talking about the fact that back in verse 54, he said, "When this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy grave, death, where is thy sting, O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So, the contextual part of the verse there has to do with victory over death, hell, and the grave, being translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, being one day resurrected, raptured, and so forth. But in verse 58, the Apostle Paul there, and also down in chapter 16, gives us somewhat of a formula for not only victory over death, hell, and the grave, but victory while we're still here upon the earth. That is a life that is a life that is victorious in the sense of serving the Lord and doing that which God desires for us to do. You know, as you read Paul's epistles, you see an extreme balance of doctrinal information about who we are and what we have in Christ, but also what God desires of us as members of His body. And sometimes it's easy to get that out of balance and just preach on who we are and what we have and how we're saved. But it's also needful that we understand that God's will for us, He says, it's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But why should we come to the knowledge of the truth? Well, Paul said, "Study to show ourselves approved unto God," what? "A workman that needeth not to be ashamed." In other words, that which we know ought to bring about some action in our life. It ought to have an effect upon us. And so Paul says, we have the victory in Jesus Christ over death, hell, and the grave. Therefore, verse 58, "My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much that you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You know, so much of what we do, folks, is just vanity. And it's not that there's anything wrong with it necessarily, but, you know, 50 years from now, 75, 100, who's going to know? That which we do for Christ's sake, that which we do for the ministry's sake, that's going to last. And so he says, He hath given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Then look down in chapter 16. In chapter 16, in verse 10, Paul says, "Now if Timotheus comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I have greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time." Now notice the admonition of verse 13 and 14 as Paul is bringing to a conclusion this letter to the church at Corinth. He says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. Now what I want to do this morning is I want to take each one of those admonitions individually and consider the impact that those things can have upon our life if we would be obedient to them. He says, first of all, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Watch ye. The terminology there is like a guard. It's similar to the idea of a sentry on duty as a soldier. And you know, it's interesting, in Paul's epistles, he uses the analogy of a soldier, of an athlete, of a farmer, as he talks about our service for the Lord. Hold on here and look over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. In other words, what does he mean, watch ye? Well, the idea there is to always be on guard. And you know, there are many things we have to guard against. In 2 Timothy, chapter 2, in verse 3, he said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He's writing to young Timothy there, and he says, to endure hardness. Verse 4, no man that warreth, there's the warfare, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, an athlete, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman, that would be the farmer, that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. He says, no man that warreth entangleth himself. The idea there is that the life of the saved individual is likened to that of a soldier in battle. You know that song, Onward Christian Soldiers, we sing, Victory in Jesus. The idea is that there is a warfare. As a matter of fact, Paul addresses that very specifically in Ephesians chapter 6. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so we need to watch ye, keep awake like a guard on duty, and always be on guard. You know, I believe that in the Christian life there are many enemies, but there are three primary enemies that we need to guard against, that we need to keep our eye on and keep focus on. First of all is the world in general. I tell you folks, when you just sit and listen at the news, you know, I have almost quit listening to the national news. I just, we'll watch the local news and then I'll just cut it something else. I tell you, if you watch the news continually, you're going to be really depressed. Because this world is a sewer. It's a cesspool. It's just the filth. You know, you can't even sit in a room many times and watch the news with people, young people and other people, without being embarrassed about the things that you hear even on the news. The world is not the friend of God. Our country is not a Christian nation. And, you know, the Bible, well, is clear that it's not going to get any better. Paul said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And so the devil has, he is the prince of the power of the air. This world in general, apart from the saints of God, are under his control and his authority. And our job is not to change the world. A lot of people believe it is. Our job is to preach the gospel to individuals. Now, individuals could change the world if there was enough of them saved. But you see, there are people who have all kind of causes that they're fighting for. But the real need is for people to understand the gospel of the grace of God and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and then be established in the truth that they might be able to serve God according to how He says that we ought to serve it. You know, this thing about the world and so forth. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the church at Corinth, this is a very interesting church. It's a very carnal church. And it's interesting that these instructions are given to that church there in relation to their serving the Lord. Because as we read through the book of 1 Corinthians, we see that they just had multitudes of problems. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, illustration of that. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? There were divisions at Corinth. Over in chapter 3, verse 2, he said, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as in the spiritual, but as in the carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So when Paul writes to that church and he says, watch ye, stand fast, quit you like men, the idea there is that these Corinthians, they were not doing that. They need to be on guard against that which is causing division, and all the way through the book, all the problems that they had. So there's the enemy of the world. There's the enemy of the flesh. And this is probably our greatest enemy. People talk about the devil and his influence upon them, and he is an enemy. He's that great adversary. But you know what? I find in my own personal life, and I bet if you were honest in your own personal life, you'd find that your greatest hindrance to doing what God desires for you to do is your flesh. The flesh is weak. The Bible says it's filthy. It's vile. It's just not a pretty picture when you talk about the flesh of mankind. And if you think about all the things, I just mentioned a moment ago in this world, all the bad and evil, it's because of men's flesh. And men, fleshly men, make up this world system that is against God, and man, by and large, is against God. And our flesh is our enemy. Look in Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7. In verse 15, Paul says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now notice verse 18. And you know, this is something you need to keep, you need to have a thorough understanding of. I know that in me, that is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Say, well, I'm trapped in this body of flesh. What am I going to do? If we can't find or do good, what is it we're going to, how can we overcome it? Well, look over in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. As I said, God's Word gives us the solution. He gives us the instruction. He gives us the information that we need to be pleasing to Him, to be His servant. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So then somebody says, well, what's walking in the Spirit? Well, I believe walking in the Spirit would be walking according to the Word of God. The Spirit of God, by the Word of God, leads us, directs us. And you know, when we're faced with circumstances of life and situations in life, the Word of God will have the answer. And as I mentioned so often, the problem is that we have resorted to other means rather than the Word of God. I was listening to a radio program this week, and it absolutely broke my heart. I was in the car there, and I had the radio for some time, and there was a call-in program. And it's about family matters and so forth. And this lady called in. Matter of fact, there were two within the time I listened, which was about 30 minutes, that called in. And both said basically the same thing, but the first one said that her husband had left her, that she was destitute, she was a Christian, and that she just felt like God had forsaken her. And she said, the problem is that right after he left, I got a word from the Lord. Now, you've probably heard that terminology before. a word from the Lord. She got a word from the Lord that he was going to come back. And that they were going to be reunited. And that everything was going to work out fine. And she said, it didn't happen. Now I'm not belittling this lady. My heart broke for this lady. But I'm thinking how important it is for people to know the truth. She went on to say, she said, my great disappointment is that it never happened. So why did the Lord tell me it was? Now what would be the logical thinking there? The Lord must have not told me. Because if it didn't happen, and God doesn't lie, then I must have not had a word from the Lord to begin with. And so this person on the radio is trying to explain all this, and I'm thinking, God said, my grace is sufficient. Paul prayed 3 times that the thorn in the flesh might be removed, and God said it's not going to be removed, but my grace is sufficient. And I wanted to be able to read Scripture to that lady and share with that woman the truth, because here she is disappointed because God didn't do what he said he's going to do. You know what, folks? If it's written in this book, you can be guaranteed he's going to do what he said he did. That's the danger of the idea that God speaks to people apart from the Word of God in an audible way or that kind of thing. And our faith needs to be upon the Word of God, because every circumstance we find ourselves in life where there's a conflict and so forth, the Bible will have the answer. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. They are warring one against the other. So Paul said, be on guard. You know why? Because your flesh is going to try to get you to do things that are contrary to the Spirit. This world is going to try to get you to do things that are contrary to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God. The devil, that old serpent, the devil, who is the enemy, is going to try to deceive you and get you to believe that there's some other way or a better way than God's way. Don't be deceived. Watch ye, he said. And then he said, stand fast. That is, stand firm in the faith. You see, folks, you need to have, saved people need to have some spiritual, biblical convictions and stand upon those convictions. Don't be moved away from those things. Don't believe it just because I say it. Don't believe it because some other preacher says it. But you get some convictions about what the book says. And be sure your convictions are based upon what the Word of God says. And when you get settled in those things, stand for them. You know, there's some things that we debate about among brethren and so forth. But you know, there are some things that there's no need to debate about. Primarily, salvation. The gospel is the power of God and the salvation. What is the gospel? Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised again the third day. For by grace are you saved through faith. Get settled in that and don't be moved away from that. Eternal security. You're sealed into the day of redemption. Be settled in some things and don't be moved away from it. The Apostle Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. He's our apostle. We're living in the dispensation of the grace of God. We're not part of the kingdom program. On and on we can go. There's some things you need to get settled in that will make your life different and cause you to be able to stand against that evil one in that evil day. Stand firm in the faith, he said. Watch ye, stand fast. How? Don't just stand fast. Stand fast in the faith. The faith. Paul uses that phrase about 30 times in his epistles. The faith has to do with the body of truth that was delivered to the church through our apostle, the Apostle Paul. It's the entire body of truth. Stand fast in that. So he said to stand firm, stand fast in the faith. You know what that really means? It means stay put. Again, like a guard that's on duty, looking. A man that's on guard, and there's a enemy out there, he can't take an hour off and go down and play his Wii or eat lunch. He's got to be there on the stand. He's got to be there. The devil is ever desiring to cause us to stumble, to cause us to get sidetracked, And God desires for us to stand fast, but it's to stand fast in the faith. And then he says, well, before we move on from that, look over 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 15, he said, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. How are we to stand? We're to stand upon the Word of God. Look back in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, a verse that I made reference to a moment ago. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take upon you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. You see, it's one thing to do all that you need to do to be prepared to stand, but he says, having done all to stand, that is, having the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, he said, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand firm in the faith. Satan desires to shatter our faith in the Word of God. It is our marching orders. It's the Word. And then he says over there, quit you like men. That phrase, quit you like men, is a phrase that simply means really to be men or to behave like men. The idea there would be to be set in contrast to being children. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. An admonition that was very direct to the Corinthians and something they needed to know. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm sorry, to the Corinthians. When he wrote that to the Corinthians, we read all through there how they are tossed to and fro and have all these problems. Well, notice what he says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You see, that's one of the reasons you need to study. That's one of the reasons you need to understand the power and the purpose of the Word of God. All Scripture is given by Scripture, and it's profitable that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It is by the Word of God that we are encouraged, that we're strengthened. And he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men. That is, behave like an adult, not children. You know, we read that verse there in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3. He said, I spoken to you not as unto spiritual, but as unto babes in Christ. Listen, folks, you know, so much of the religious world today is so full of entertainment and other things that people simply are not fed. Now, there are churches that preach the Word and feed, but there is when we talk about being fed, we're talking about being fed the meat of the Word and the spiritual meat of the Word and growing in grace and growing in the Lord and henceforth be no more children. What did he say about children? He said they're tossed to and fro and they're blown about with every wind of doctrine. And you don't want to be that way. You want to be established in what you believe so that you can stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong, he says. There in first, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and then he says to be strong. Now the strength is not our strength. It's not in our ability. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Notice there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 1, Paul said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of what? The Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." He said, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish, but unto us which are saved." It is what? The power of God. You want the power of God in your life? Listen, folks, it's not going to come through some supernatural baptism of the Spirit, a second filling, as many times is taught, where people pray at an altar and pray for the power and pray for the power. You want the power? You know where it's going to come from? It's going to come from this book right here. It's the power of God operating in the lives of the individual. Paul said, "When I came to you in fear and trembling." He said, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." I can imagine he would have been, considering this group at Corinth. That'd have been a bad group to go to. As a matter of fact, did you notice when we read over there in chapter 16, he said, "When Timothy comes, be nice to Timothy." Be nice to Timothy. This was a rough group. I mean, this was a bunch of people over there. There was fornication going on in the church. They were suing one another. They were at odds with one another. Just read the whole book. This was a bad bunch of people. And Paul said he thanked God on their behalf that God counted them as saints. But this was a rough bunch. And Paul said, "When I came to you, I came not in weakness. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling." And he said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but the power of God." Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "Timothy, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." And then he closes it out, verse 14, with probably as important of the instruction as any of the others. He said, "Let all your things be done with charity." Let all your things be done with charity. That is, allow the love of God, charity, to regulate all that you do. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Folks, we should never, ever take the attitude of haughtiness, high-minded. Before we read in 2 Timothy 2, look over in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, and then we'll come back to 2 Timothy 2. Paul said in Corinthians, he said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." We believe the Word of God rightly divided. We preach salvation by grace. But everything we know about that, we receive from the Word of God. We didn't receive it because of our intellect. We didn't receive it because we're better than somebody else. We didn't receive it because we're smarter than other people. We received it by faith. And as we carry on a ministry of, as Paul says, as ambassadors of Christ, the minister of reconciliation, everything we do should be motivated by charity and by love. That should be the motivation for being on radio, TV, that people might... You see, I always have and I will always believe that if somebody really loves you, they're going to tell you the truth. They're going to tell you the truth. Paul said, speaking the truth in love. As he wrote to the Ephesians about the unity of the Spirit, it's always interesting to me that in verse 1 of chapter 4, before he addresses those seven ones, he said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And notice how you do that. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I believe we've got the most wonderful, liberating message in the world through preaching the grace of God. But we need to preach it in meekness, lowliness. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let love, he says, let charity regulate all that you do. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose himself, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and if they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You see, when we stand up here, or I stand up here at times, and I talk about what other people believe or don't believe, it's not with a spirit of arrogance or haughtiness. It's because, folks, we want people to believe the truth. When I talk about people that are lost and that preach a work salvation, I want those people to know the truth. I want people to experience salvation by grace through faith, knowing that all their sins are forgiven. Every time I hear somebody talk about praying at the altar or asking God to forgive their sins, or if we confess it, I want to be able to tell that person the wonderful truth. Listen, I've got some good news for you. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing your trespasses. Every time I talk to somebody that has some guilt about things they've done in their past, I want people to see that's not the issue. Their sin is not the issue. Jesus Christ went to a cross 2,000 years ago and died for their sins. And He loved us, and He did it because of His love for us. And we're to manifest that same love in all that we do. And so Paul concludes this wonderful, short, concise statement about how the life that wins, the life of victory, when he simply says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you or behave like men, be strong, and let all your things be done with charity. Well, you're talking about a lot of information in a short verse. It's right there. Instructions that really summarizes all that he said to that church at Corinth in this lengthy letter as he writes to a bunch of people that no doubt are saved but are yet carnal and walk as men. We need to desire to follow the instructions, to be strong, to watch, stand fast. Be adults, don't be children. Be strong, don't be weak in the faith. Be strong in the faith. And then let all your things be done with charity. Let the love of Christ that He had for us be manifest in all that we do toward those that we minister to. Because we do it for Christ's sake, not for ourselves. Would you stand with me for prayer? Our Father, we thank you this